The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. The issue of gerrymandering, as it's called, which is redistricting to maximize your political power, something Democrats do all the time in places like Illinois, by the way, does not get this attention. Democrats did this once before in Texas. It was during the pandemic. It was 2021, I think it was, actually. And they all fled and they made spectacles of themselves on social media, and then they came back. And so, they're doing it again. But just know that blue states also do this stuff. You just don't hear about it, like we were talking about with Bill earlier in the show. But there'll be more on this. Big story of the day, though, and it makes me very happy, is that Pam Bondi has assembled a grand jury in Washington, D.C. to begin looking into the Russiagate hoax, or Russia hoax. I mean, gate doesn't even qualify. It's really past time to stop equating anything with Watergate. The Russia hoax. That makes me happy. And this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we will be live for our next live show and final live show of the summer on August 15th, which is a week from this Friday. So make sure you join us for that 3 to 7 p.m., okay? I want to see you there. And this is also the time for you to go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com and plan your fall getaway. The question of whether or not this grand jury that is being impaneled by Pam Bondi will lead to anything. Hey, look, it's anybody's guess. I don't know. I don't want to give false hope. I don't like doing that. I'm a realist, so I just deal in reality. And I'm not trying to I'm just giving facts. I think what they'll wind up doing is I think they'll be able to build cases against lower level people, go after them, threaten them with serious prison time for being engaged in a conspiracy against Donald Trump, and get those people to flip on the big names. And then the big names will try to delay their day in court as long as possible. But ultimately, the big names, and the big names being Clinton, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, potentially Obama. I mean, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could be indicted as well. So we'll see where all this goes. I'm just happy that we're making progress towards accountability here. And the first step in that is obviously assembling a grand jury to take a look at the evidence. And you've got now the United States Attorney, Jeanine Pirro, who was confirmed by the Senate. So Judge Jeanine is now officially United States Attorney for D.C. And good. But you're going to have to ultimately deal when you get to a trial with a D.C. jury. So factor that in. But we're a long way from that. I mean, the first step in this is getting the indictments and then getting people who are indicted to flip on other people. That's what I think is how you'll see this play out as this goes along. In some other news, you just heard the news report about Charlemagne the God. So, you know, look, the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. Yeah, there's a problem, as I've mentioned, within MAGA right now, where people are very upset that more about Epstein is not coming out. Pam Bondi did not handle this well at all, coming out with the binders and making a big spectacle out of this. And that was a very, very bad move. And now Kash Patel and Dan Bongino are in this awkward position after years of building up speculation around this, of now coming out and saying that there's no there there. The president did not help himself by scolding his own base. And now those pieces have to be picked up. So Charlemagne the God went on Laura Trump's Fox News show Saturday night. And he predicted that this will ultimately basically destroy the Republican base within MAGA. This is what he said, and then I'll share with you what the president said in response to Charlemagne the God, who, of course, is a very popular nationally syndicated talk show host. He is a guy who I think probably has had a lot of success in blending politics and culture, and that's why he's landed some big names who are running for office. And you know, the Kamala Harris interview on Charlamagne the God Show was disastrous. Democrat candidate for governor of New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill, when he confronted her about her stock trades, that was disastrous for her. This is what he said to Laura Trump. It was interesting that choice of guests, in my opinion, but cut number eight.
I think that traditional conservatives are going to take the Republican Party back. I think there's a political coup going on right now in the Republican Party that people aren't paying attention to.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think that this Epstein thing is going to be a way for traditional conservatives to take their party back. I really do. I think that they know this is the issue that has gotten the base riled up. The MAGA base isn't letting this issue go. And for the first time, they know they can, you know, probably take their party back and not piss off the MAGA base. I think they're going to do that.
The president responded to that by saying the very wonderful and talented Laura Trump, whose show is a big rating success, put racist sleazebag Charlamagne the God on her show. Why is he allowed to use the word God when describing himself? Can anyone imagine the uproar there would be if I used that nickname? He is a low IQ individual, has no idea what words are coming out of his mouth, and knows nothing about me or what I have done. And then he went on to list several accomplishments of his term. Look, I've said before, you know, if people within MAGA feel like they're being lied to, taken advantage of, they'll stay home. This idea, though, that the conservative party will reclaim, I think conservatives are largely happy with Trump's policies. There's, you know, disagreements over things like tariffs and stuff, but for the most part, they're very happy with his policies. There's a kind of a warmonger element in the Republican Party, but the base has said no to that. To that wing, and for the most part, those Republicans have come over, and I think at least have seen the light, or at least pretend to. But yeah, no, look, I mean, there's no doubt, because I see the tweets, and I see it. There is an element of MAGA that is very, very unhappy right now. No doubt about that. And the potential is they stay home, they sit out midterms. The potential is they don't come out in November for Jack Ciattarelli. The potential is they just say, I'm done, right? It's like, if nothing happens here, if nobody's held accountable, I'm out. And the same thing with Russia. If nothing happens with the Russia hoax, I'm out. Because if Trump can't go after these people, no one can, and I'm tapping out. That is, I think, as I've said, the biggest risk you have. It's not that there'll be this takeover. I think conservatives are largely very happy with policy. They're not thrilled. Like, I mean, there's elements of the One Big Beautiful Bill they don't like. You're always going to have that. But the bigger fear I have is that people who are not politically engaged before, who are part of Trump's base because of him, because of Donald Trump, they tap out and don't come back because they've never liked Republicans to begin with. They showed up for him. They're different from Republican voters. They're incredibly loyal to him. But that loyalty, like in any relationship, only goes so far. So if you criticize them, if you don't deliver for them, then they'll just be out. And then you risk then not winning because you don't have the numbers. And we've seen them not come out in the past. Like, we saw that with that special election in Lancaster County last year, where it was a county Trump won, but the Democrats still won, or this year, because there's Republican voters and then there's MAGA voters, and they're not necessarily one and the same. There's people that come out for Trump, but they don't always come out for whoever the Republican is on the ballot. And, you know, the blending of those two is the art. That's the trick. And that's the trick going into November for Jack Ciattarelli. Charlamagne also called out the liberal media and their double standard over Jeffrey Epstein, something I was talking with Bill D'Agostino about earlier. This is cut number nine.
It's funny how the news works. Bill Clinton, you know, wrote a letter to, you know, Jeffrey Epstein as well for his birthday, but nobody's talking about that. Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey Epstein had a picture of Bill Clinton in a dress in high heels, you know, in his New York mansion, but nobody's talking about that. My thing is this. I don't care who's on the list. Everybody got to go. Mm-hmm. Burn it all down. Yeah. Like, that's just simple as that. Mutually assured destruction. Whoever's on that list need to go. Nobody needs to be protecting pedophiles. I don't care what party they are.
No, period. And, you know, to that point, though, you know, Clinton is not the president right now. You know, if he was, you'd think that, anyways, yeah, I think he would still be under scrutiny if he was the president right now.
No, he wouldn't, because liberal media wouldn't push the issue.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't. I mean, he's right. They would not push the issue. And this is why the Democrats never said a word about Epstein, why the media never said a word about Epstein. Never. They never, ever covered it. They didn't want to. They didn't want to know if Bill Clinton was on Epstein's island. They didn't want to know who was on that plane. They didn't want to know. And I'm sure there are a lot of very high-profile Democrats who were on those planes. I have no doubt about that. But they know that they can say all these things now because they can't deliver anything. And, you know, there was a longer interview, and I listened to it, of callers calling up Charlemagne and defending Trump, black callers, and saying, like his listeners, I think the guy's doing a great job. And because he's been very critical of Trump, but they were calling up and saying to him, I think he's doing great. I think he's delivering. Yeah, I think he's delivering. Whether it's him or it's Theo Von or it's Joe Rogan or somebody, like these guys have audiences that are not your traditional political audience. So it's a unique moment in time because there are people that don't vote in every election and they're not necessarily representative of like you, me, because we're politically active and engaged all the time. Their audiences, not so much. And it's a unique perspective on that. But look, this Epstein thing needs to be dealt with correctly. It needs to be handled. And it can't you can't just pretend like it's just going to disappear. And the same thing with Russia. Like, I'm glad we have a grand jury. Good. There are people now who are counting on indictments. That better happen. And then they're counting on those indictments leading to convictions. Again, better happen or people are going to say, what the hell's the point? I'm done. The Attorney General of Texas has released a statement regarding rogue Democrat lawmakers who fled Texas to break quorum. And they are now ordering the Texas Department of Public Safety to begin arresting them, saying that those who fled the state should be swiftly arrested, punished, and face the full force of the law for turning their backs on the people of Texas. So that just happened a few moments ago. And also, this is interesting, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is going to announce a nuclear reactor on the moon. He will announce expedited plans this week to build a nuclear reactor on the moon, the first major action by the former Fox News host as the interim NASA administrator. NASA has discussed building a reactor on the moon, but this would set a more definitive timeline. According to documents obtained by Politico, and come just as the agency faces a massive budget cut. The move also underscores how Duffy is now handling two jobs by being the transportation secretary and also now handling the issue of NASA as well. So there you go. And nuclear propulsion, a technology. So that would help fuel the International Space Station as well. All right. Let me share this with you. There's a lot going on today. Busy, busy day. And if you're just joining us, thank you for being here. But they had a MAHA event at the White House today, a MAHA event. And during that event, they talked about a bunch of different ways now that they can keep kids healthy. And that's good because, again, our taxpayer dollars are paying for this stuff. So you want to make sure kids are healthy. And that has to happen because we're paying for this. So it's all this. Matt, I know you said you added some. I don't see it, though, on the cut sheet that you sent me.
Cuts 27 and 28. 27 is Brooke Rollins, and then 28 is Secretary Kennedy.
Oh, there we go. Okay, I see it. Great. So this is Brooke Rollins, Agriculture Secretary, announcing the signing of waivers, which will remove unhealthy foods from SNAP in six more states. Again, my whole point on this is that if you're paying for this stuff, you don't want to be paying to send people to the doctor by giving them unhealthy food, because then you're also paying for their medical bills through Medicare or Medicaid. So this is just common sense as far as I'm concerned. Cut 27.
Since my confirmation, our department has encouraged states to think differently and creatively about how to solve the many health issues facing Americans. One way is by not allowing taxpayer-funded benefits to be used to purchase unhealthy items like soda, candy, and other junk food. The number one purchase by SNAP recipients is sugary drinks. SNAP is a supplemental nutrition program meant to provide health food benefits to low-income families to supplement their grocery budget so they can afford the nutritious food essential to health and well-being. That is the stated purpose of the SNAP program. The law states it, and President Trump's USDA plans to deliver on it alongside our partners at HHS. So today, I'm proud to sign six more waivers for Florida, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and Colorado. This is in addition to the waivers we've already signed for Iowa, Indiana, and others across the country. I continue to encourage states to be laboratories of innovation. Think through how you can promote healthy families and healthy communities. And because of our historic partnership, USDA and HHS, and the visionary leadership of the governors here with us today and of the states represented by the signings, we are doing something about it. These SNAP waivers are just one piece of the MAHA effort. We work so closely together to encourage voluntary commitments to remove artificial food dyes, among other things, from our food supply. And together we are crafting sensical dietary guidelines for Americans that prioritize whole, healthy, and nutritious foods.
Good. Because, again, you don't need to be paying twice. Once for the unhealthy food, and then the second time through Medicaid when they go to the doctor for eating all this unhealthy food. And I also like the fact that she said voluntary efforts to remove this crap from the foods. I'm glad, because I don't want government mandates. I don't want the government coming in there and banning things. I just work with these companies and educate consumers and then leave it in the hands of the marketplace, and that will work out. Because I'm telling you, as a parent, I know this, parents are looking for better and healthier options for their children. There's no doubt, we know the link between unhealthy food, processed food, our kids' health. We want better choices. We want more options. All these things. Absolutely. But when you're dealing with a poor population that is using benefits, there is no reason why your taxpayer dollars and mine should go towards making people more unhealthy, because then we're paying for it when they go to the doctor because they've been eating unhealthy food, and then we're paying for it through Medicaid. This is Secretary Kennedy, says dietary guidelines will soon be updated, which is also good. Why do we have to do this at all? Because government got us into this mess by creating dietary guidelines, which were so, so absolutely pushed by lobbyists and people with special interests. And I'm telling you right now, the obesity epidemic in this country was caused by government, caused by subsidies to corn and sugar and food pyramid nonsense telling you to stuff your face with 12 servings of carbs a day and stay away from meat and eggs and butter. Government created this disaster. It did. The obesity epidemic in this country created by government. I believe that. Absolutely. Because people trusted the guidance of government, because they trusted government too much at a period of time. Not anymore. Now we have a good, wonderful skepticism, but we got to clean up the freaking mess now. It's clean up in aisle 9. A lot of foods that said low fat on them spilled over. Good. And throw them out. Here's Secretary Kennedy, cut 28.
I'm also working with Secretary Rollins on the dietary guidelines, which should come out next month. The dietary order, they're coming out, I think it's at the end of September, 3 months ahead of schedule. And the dietary guidelines that we inherited from the Biden administration were 453 pages long. They were driven by the same commercial impulses that put Fruit Loops at the top of the food pyramid. And they were incomprehensible. And we are going to release dietary guidelines that are 4 or 5 or 6 pages long, that are understandable, that are simple, and will allow people to make good choices about their food. They will drive changes in the school lunch program, in prison lunches, in military food, and they will begin to change America almost immediately.
Good. I think it's great. And choice is the key. Leave it up to people. I don't want the government telling us what to do. But, you know, it's the problem is that we went through a period of time where we all believed if the government said so, if the government said we should eat it, then it should be good for us. And if the government told us what we, you know, and I think COVID opened a lot of people's eyes to the idea that the experts have no freaking clue what they're talking about it. And so, yeah, you know what? Even this, take it with a healthy dose of skepticism. Absolutely. No question about it. And no mandates and nothing else. But we also know certain deep down inside that we have a problem in this country with obesity. And we also need to have the freedom to be able to say that obesity is not good. That's also part of the controversy, stupid, made-up controversy with Sydney Sweeney. Part of the other reason why the left is so outraged is because she's not fat. No, I'm serious, because of the whole body positivity thing. I don't want anybody to feel bad about themselves, but celebrating what is a major, major contributing factor to heart disease, depression, cancer, and early death, sleep apnea, and everything else on the front page of fashion magazines and swimsuit magazines is not good for anybody. You know that. I know that. We all know that. Here is one more thing I wanted to share. Oh, what is this now? By the way, Mama Zioli apologized for the apple pies that she brought me every day as a kid, which didn't help and made me a fat kid. Mama Zioli's birthday today. Happy birthday, Mama Zioli. So happy birthday to Mama Zioli. Should we play some birthday music, Justin, for Mama Zioli? Or at least, I don't know, Be Careful, Baby, something like that?
Yeah, I can come back with some birthday music for the next bumper.
All right, we'll come back with some birthday music for Mama Zioli. And yeah, she would buy me apple pies and Jell-O pudding pies, too. Do you ever have a Jell-O pudding pie? I think they're illegal now in 48 countries. They were literally a pie with Jell-O in them. And not even the low-sugar Jell-O, just pure... I mean, not Jell-O pudding, like Jell-O pudding. So like pudding, like a pudding. So like a pie crust, and then you open it up and pudding. And that would be my after-school snack as a kid. You wonder why I was a fat kid? Why I had husky jeans? Oh, it was delicious. And every day I had an after-school snack loaded with sugar, but there was low fat, though. See? Low fat. Twinkies. Remember, Twinkies for a while were advertising the fact they were low fat. What's the one candy bar? Three Musketeers. I think they still do. I think they still brag about the fact that they're low fat. Have you seen one of those lately, DeSantis?
There's no way they're low fat. I mean, they could make the claim, but... compared to what? Like,
well, no, because they have like 182 grams of sugar in them, so they don't have to be, they don't have to have fat in them, you know?
Isn't the whole thing just like chocolate and lard? Like, what?
No, because it's not real. It's all processed junk. So you can put all this stuff in there, and then it's not fat because it's all junk. You know what I mean? If you were to use real chocolate and real butter and real milk and real, it would have fat in it. But that's the point. That stuff's good for you. The stuff in the candy bar isn't. But when it says low fat on it, people go, oh, it's good for me. It's low fat. You see?
It looks like you're right. It looks like they did market Three Musketeers candy bars as low fat in the 90s, at least. I don't know if they're still doing it.
Probably not. I think people now have seen through that scam. But yeah, that was the low fat craze. You guys kind of missed out on that, but I know it well. I grew up with that, where everything was advertised as low fat. Aisles of food.
You're totally right. Yeah, in the 90s and early 2000s, and it was because it had 45% less fat than the average leading candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally insane. Imagine looking at a...
And how many grams of sugar is in that?
Give me a second. I'll find out.
And that's what would happen. So you'd go down the grocery store aisle, and everything, crackers, cookies, advertised, low fat. So people go, oh, it must be good for me. It's low fat. And they just load up a shopping cart with it. And again, the dietary guidelines, the food pyramid said, at the bottom, 6 to 12 servings of breads, grains, and all this other stuff. So they went, oh, it's got healthy grains and low fat. Eat up the chips, ahoy, fatty. And then all of a sudden, they had Snackwells, I think was the name of the cookie, a low fat cookie that advertised itself, low fat and whole grain. And then all of a sudden, everybody's ballooning up and going, I don't understand. What happened? I'm eating my 6 to 12 servings of whole grains every day. Bread, I'm breading out. I got bread for breakfast, bread for lunch, bread for dinner. I can't even keep up with all the bread I'm eating. Why am I fat?
By the way, 36 grams of sugar in a single Three Musketeers bar, you're supposed to consume somewhere between 25, or you're not supposed to exceed 25 to 36 grams of sugar daily if you want to be healthy.
But it's low fat. See? Ah, stupid. We went through such dumb times because of the government. But Mama Zioli, I don't hold it against you. Don't worry, even though I got made fun of a lot as a kid. And that's when you could bully back then, so at least they bullied me into going on SlimFast. All right, as we continue along the show here today, I appreciate you being here, and we will be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, coming up August 15th for our next and final live show of the summer. And I'm grateful that Mama Zioli not only raised me, but also introduced me to my dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria. And I'd love for you to make him your family's dentist as well. He is the expert that the experts send their patients to. When it comes to complicated dental procedures, I'm talking about the whole gamut, crowns and implants, the real complicated stuff. Dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike Veneria. Doctors choose him. Hospital administrators choose him. He's just that good. And for 12 years in a row, 12 consecutive years, Dr. Mike Veneria has been recognized among his peers as the expert, as the master of dental implants. So what are you waiting for? Make your appointment today. If you've had a consultation for complicated dental work, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike. And if you need complicated dental work, do you really want to go to these pop-up chain dental offices? Of course not. You want to go to the man. You want to go to the expert, the guy that the experts send their patients to, and that's Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. And you also don't want to go to the closest dentist necessarily, but Dr. Mike might be very close to you, or at least easy to get to, with an office in Cinnaminson and one in Woodbury right over the bridge. So please, make your appointment today, 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. He's my dentist. He's my friend. He's the master of dental implants. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Mama Zioli's birthday. Happy birthday to Mama Zioli. Thank you, Justin. Even though we ate a lot of carbs growing up. But that's what they told us to do back then. Eat carbs. Secretary Kennedy also said, you know, when it comes to the president's physical fitness for kids, this is amazing. I mean, look, the screen time battle with children, as I talk about this with my contemporaries, I was talking this with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law the other day because my son's cousin was over, you know, having a sleepover. So we talked about it with his parents, and the screen time battle is a battle that every parent and grandparent knows all too well right now in this day and age, because our kids don't have phones, but my son has an iPad, which he plays games on. A lot of kids have phones, and it's a battle. It's a battle to get them off of the screens. These things are addictive, no doubt about that. The dopamine's firing on all levels, and getting them outside and off a device is not easy. It really isn't. And so it's a constant struggle, and we have to do it. You have to do it because it's not good for these kids to just be sitting in front of a screen all day. It's not good for their eyes. It's not good for their mental health. It's not good. And we recognize that. And at the same time, there's obviously got to be a healthy balance because there are times when, you know, I mean, like, we took our kids to the movies this weekend. I'm not anti-screen, but if the average kid in America is spending 7 hours a day in front of a screen, we got a real problem here. And that we don't even know the extent of what that problem is going to be, because this isn't just a matter of just sitting around and playing games. These are also kids who are engaging in social media and what the challenges that that all brings, too. So a big part of this right now, and the commission is to get kids outdoors, have physical activity. Why does this matter? Because kids spend a lot of time in the custody of the state in school, unless you homeschool your kids. But if you don't, and you send your kids to school, whether it's public school or private school, then during those hours, you got to make sure the kids are just not sitting in front of desks. And now schools incorporate computers into the classroom, which, of course, they should. I mean, what the hell? It's, you know, in this digital age, you want the kids knowing how to use a computer, obviously. But now that screen time is also time at school that they're on screens. So you got to factor that in as well. Here's Secretary Kennedy on that issue. Cut 20.
What will the test look like now? I mean, we all remember, you know, the sit and reach and the pull-ups and all of it. But we've learned a lot since then. So can you tell us what the test will look like now?
I can't, because we don't know exactly what the tests are going to look like. That's why we have a commission, which the president launched this week. But we're going to, you know, we're going to make sure, listen, right now, the average American kid is spending 7 hours in front of his screen a day. And the purpose of this is to make sure that kids get outdoors, make sure the kids have physical activity. It's absolutely critical. And you know, I'm not sure exactly what the path is for achieving that, but we know what our objective is. Everybody wants our kids to get up. And, you know, it contributes to this sedentary lifestyle is contributing to the malaise, the spiritual malaise that we have in this country, the emotional and depressive state that so many of our kids are in. You need to get out, do competitive sports, work with teamwork, work with other kids, try to make it exciting for everybody, and try to make it enjoyable. We need our kids up, you know, move a muscle, change a thought. If you want to get out of a bad mood, go out and do something physical.
And also, COVID caused a lot of these problems, too, because our kids did not have access to go and play sports and be outside and do a lot of these things. And the screen time addictions got even worse during the pandemic. So we're dealing with all that, too, kind of playing, again, cleanup on aisle nine. A lot of this is cleanup on aisle nine. Not as bad as the cleanup of these WNBA games, though. So Matt DeSantis found another issue. So I guess this is a serial toy thrower, Matt? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, it may have come to an end, though, because he was, at least this guy was caught. We don't know for certain whether or not it was the same guy throwing sex toys at both WNBA games. But this guy was caught and banned from attending WNBA events for the next year. And the WNBA has said that if you throw a sex toy
on the
court,
why don't we say, instead of saying that, why don't we say an adult personal recreation device in case there's kids in the car.
A device.
I don't need parents writing me and saying my kid's asking what a blank toy is, you know?
Well, I was cleaning it up because that's not the actual terminology they used in any of these articles. But okay, an adult device.
There you go.
If you throw an adult device on the court of a WNBA game moving forward, you're going to face a 1-year ban.
Okay. I'm still going to go on record and say this is still way more exciting than watching the WNBA. Okay? Watching a guy throw a personal recreational adult device on a floor at the WNBA game is the single most exciting thing about the WNBA. This has happened again, though, and they arrested this one, but we don't know if there are others out there. Is that correct? Am I understanding this correct?
That is totally correct, yes.
All right. Well, YouTube, take a look at this, and this guy gets kicked out here. Got 25.
Got a whistle away from the basketball.
Sick. Yeah. So I think this is my theory on this is that this guy was doing everybody a favor by giving them something interesting to look at besides the WNBA. So I actually think this person's a hero. That's my personal opinion.
It's going to keep happening now. Even if it was the same guy and they've got him, I think other people are just going to follow suit and start doing it. Because, I mean, it's viral. It's all over social media. It's not going away.
And what's that? You get a lifetime ban on going to the WNBA?
No, it's not even a lifetime ban. It's just a 1-year ban.
Oh, see, now, it should be a lifetime ban. The reason why they won't do that is because then there'd be like hundreds of them thrown at every game. So people would be banned for life and never be allowed to come back. Thank God I'm not allowed to go back to another WNBA game. Thank God. See? They know what they're doing. I don't want to show a clip of a dead AI kid. What is that? I don't want to show that.
Well,
what is that?
Okay, so it's very bizarre. So Jim Acosta is promoting an interview he conducted with Joaquin Oliver, who was a student that died in the Parkland school shooting in 2018. But Oliver's parents have actually recreated him, an AI version of him at least, so that their son can discuss gun violence.
And
the first interview they've granted is with Jim Acosta. I don't know if the entire interview is out yet, but we have a clip if you want to see.
I don't want to promote that. First of all, I thought Jim Acosta's in journalist internment camp, number one.
He's free.
He's on parole? Because I thought he was locked up under Donald Trump when he arrested all the journalists and put them in camp.
It's possible he conducted the interview from a jail cell.
I don't want to show a dead AI kid talking about gun violence. It's like the most depressing and weird, cryptic thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well,
why would I want to play that?
Depressing. I don't know. I've just never seen anything like it before, so I think it's sort of interesting.
No, it's not interesting. It's depressing and demented is what it is. You're going to bring back your dead kid to talk about gun violence? Oh, I'm not playing that. No friggin' way. Play that on the Matt and Justin extended show.
We don't have an extended show.
That's terrible. What?
But don't you think that things like this are going to happen more frequently?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I think there's. I think it's going to happen regularly. There's AI companies already where you can have conversations with dead philosophers, not like video conversations. Like it's not like Zoom or replicating Zoom, but you can have like full blown text conversations with like John Locke, or you can talk with Immanuel Kant. And I assume that this is going to become more widespread as AI advances.
You think so?
I would imagine. Yeah.
I want to sit down with Socrates. Socrates. Like in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That's what I want to do. Sit down with Socrates and hang out. Chat with him. I'm not playing a dead AI kid talking about gun control. Ugh, awful. We got Judge Judy. Let's play Judge Judy. I didn't know she was still around. I'm glad she's back. She went after Colbert. Isn't Judge Judy? Oh, no, no. Judge Jeanine just got confirmed as U.S. attorney. What is Judge Judy doing these days? She still have her show?
Yeah, she's still got her show.
Good for her.
I think she's still making a ton of money off that show. I have no idea who watches it, but evidently there are quite a few people.
Well, this is Cut 24.
I love your hat, Judy.
Morning.
So cute. Good
morning. How are you?
Great. How are you? I love this picture. So, Judy, you know I have to ask you. So, you've recently been, like, outspoken about, like, CBS and your relationship with them. What was your reaction to hearing Stephen Goldberg got canceled?
I have very little reaction. When a show loses money, it gets canceled.
Right. Have you heard about what they're saying about Donald Trump and him being the reason why it got canceled?
I hear a lot of things. CBS is in the business of making money. But they don't make money.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
They gotta do what you have to do, otherwise your shareholders are gonna sue you.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you. Thank you.
Any message you have maybe to Stephen Colbert during this time?
Oh, rewire. You'll find something fun to do.
Oh, that's fine.
I did, and I'm much older than you were.
She's now making $47 million a year and worth every penny, if you ask me, because her show makes money. That's the difference. It makes money. 4 million viewers a show.
She has better ratings than Colbert.
Yeah, because she's good. And she doesn't show dead AI kids talking about gun control on her show. That's why.
Her net worth is $500 million.
Judge Judy?
Yeah, $440 to $500 million is the estimate.
Damn. Should have went to law school. Then became a TV judge. That's where the money is. By the way, I have to mention Count Grandstangelis, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage band trying to avoid endorsing Zoran Mandami. What a fraud this guy is. So here's Booker, the senator from New Jersey, verbal trapeze. I don't know how much he hurt himself here, straining to avoid answering a simple question of whether or not he supports Mandami for mayor of New York City. It's not that complicated. It's yes or no. Do you back him or not, Spartacus? Cut 19.
I'm wondering if part of the issue with your party, do you think, is not embracing enough of the energy on the left flank of your party? You're seeing what's happening in your neighboring state in New York. Zoran Mamdani, he's the Democratic candidate, Democratic socialist candidate there. Democratic leaders are not supporting him. Is that a problem? Do you support him?
So you and I are going to have this conversation, and I'm going to say to you one day, I told you so. Uh-huh. This is not a left-right issue. It really isn't. It is an authoritarian versus people who want pragmatic government that makes a difference in the lives of American people. I'm one of these people that says the lines that divide us in America are not nearly as strong as the ties that bind us. Big corporations, people who want to keep our eyes on the screen, want to pit us against each other and tell us how much we should hate each other. I'm sorry. The left-right lens is not the right lens to look at this right now. Right now it is, can we get back to the pragmatic work of governing?
Mamdani, are you going to support him?
I have learned a long time ago, let New York politics be New York politics. We got enough challenges in Jersey. I got a governor's race. I'm supporting Mikey Sherrill. I got legislative races. That's where my energy is going to go going into November. New York City, I love you. You're my neighbor. You're about 10 miles from where I live. You guys figure out your elections. I'm going to focus on mine.
Well, I'll tell you what, America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, she's backing Mandami. She's backing him in a big, big way. And she also said AOC and Bernie Sanders, these are the future. These are the future for the Democrats. That's right. Mandami, AOC, Bernie, these are the Democrats leading the party into the midterms. Socialist, Marxist, kooks, led by America's mother-in-law. That's the clip I texted you guys earlier. Take a listen.
And I the people I know and know well, like Mamdani, like Ocasio-Cortez, like Sanders, are all in there fighting, and they know what they're fighting for. They're fighting for an America that's not just controlled by a handful of billionaires who dump literally millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into campaigns. They want somebody who is actually there to fight for them. And that's what I think these races are about. That's what I think the New York mayoral race is about. And that's what I think the 2026 races all around the country will be about.
Socialist, Marxist kooks. Justin, you have Senator Ted Cruz responding to Spartacus Booker refusing to answer and twisting himself into a gigantic pretzel.
I do. Let's take a listen to what Senator Ted Cruz thinks.
Well done. Well played. Excellent. Good. Freaking dead AI kids talking about gun control. What the hell is wrong with you, DeSantis? What is wrong with you? It's not
interesting.
No one's interested in that. Just like you wanted to see Eric Swalwell bench pressing. Nobody wanted to see that either.
I didn't. No, to be clear, I did not want to see Eric Swalwell bench pressing. I just wanted to use it as an excuse to play Eric Swalwell on MSNBC when he was a little bit gassy.
All right, that's fair enough. That's good. And the 6 o'clock hour will play me on Fox News today. How about that? Did I mention I was on Fox News today?
I think you did bring it up, yeah.
Okay, because I was on Fox News today, America's Newsroom, this morning. That's actually the big story of the day, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, where I was smiling this morning on Fox, on America's Newsroom, with the lovely Dana Perino and the lovely Martha McCallum sitting in for Bill Hemmer, along with Jimmy Fallon. We had fun, so we'll talk about that in the next hour. But Sydney Sweeney, still all the rage, all the talk about Sydney Sweeney. And before I go to break and we'll set up the next hour, just in case you didn't know, the president responded to Sydney Sweeney being a registered Republican, and he now loves her ad. So this is what President Trump said about Sydney Sweeney. Cut number one.
After Sydney Sweeney, it came out this weekend that she was a registered Republican. Any thoughts on that?
That who was?
Sydney Sweeney. She's like a very hot actress right
she's
now.
She's a registered Republican?
Yes.
Oh, now I love her ad. Is that right? Is Sydney Sweeney? You'd be surprised at how many people are Republicans. That's what I wouldn't have known, but I'm glad you told me that. If Sydney Sweeney is a registered Republican, I think her ad is fantastic. Okay, thank you very much.
Absolutely
everybody.
Fantastic, Mr. President. You know what else is fantastic? Emmons Roofing saving you 10%. That's right. 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson windows, doors, and so much more. That's the Emmons difference. Quality, trusted craftsmanship, American-made products, and the Emmons Guarantee. Your roof will have a lifetime warranty. They are Owens Corning Platinum Certified Contractors. And every project that they do is guaranteed. They serve a whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And Emmons even has a kitchen and bathroom remodeling division. They'll take great care of your home. They remodeled the kitchen and bathroom in our old home, and we were able to sell that house at a premium. The lifetime transferable warranty on the roof also makes a huge difference. And the siding and the protection and the peace of mind, it's all there with Emmons. And 10% off? I mean, come on. That matters, too. EmmonsRoofing.com is where you go. Tell them I sent you. Matt, Kelly, his great team, the whole team at Emmons is dedicated to customer satisfaction, making sure you're happy. And they're not just part of the community. They give back to the community. One of our biggest sponsors every year of the Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. And they hire a lot of veterans, too. EmmonsRoofing.com. I've used them over 12 years in two different homes, and they've delivered for me every single time. 10% off. For you, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.